beginning of this week's parsha, Amar Lakanim Bnei Aaron Vermatar Lehem Lenefesh Leitamal Be'almav. So the Rashi brings from Chazal that it starts in this language of Amar Lakanim Bnei Aaron Vermatar. What's the Amar Vermarto? So Rashi says from the Torah's Kahanim, it's Gemara Yevamos, that you tell the Kahanim that they should tell other Kahanim. So what's that referring to? That the Gedolim, the Kahanim, which are already of halachic maturity, have responsibility for the Kahanim. That the Isser of Tumas Kahanim, the Kahanim, which are Gedolim, have a responsibility to make sure that the Kahanim, which are Kahanim, do not become Tame. So here is where we see in the Torah, one place where we see in the Torah that there's a command on the adults to take responsibility that the children should also keep the mitzvahs. You find it in two other places in the Torah. You find it by Shabbos. There's a din of Shvisa on the of Bincha and Bitecha. There's a chiv on the father to make sure that the child keeps Shabbos. And the Gemara learns it out regards to the Isser of Machalas Asuris. There's an Isser for when it comes to non-kosher food. The adults have responsibility to make sure that the children do not eat non-kosher food. So that leads us into the mitzvah, which is known as the mitzvah of chinuch. So I want to talk today a little bit about the mitzvah of chinuch, this chiyuv of chinuch. Now, we're going to divide it up into different levels. There is the responsibility of chinuch to train a child for mitzvahs asay. There's a responsibility to train a child for mitzvahs lo asay, which means stop a child from doing something wrong. Train him not to do it. There is a situation where the child is doing the aveira already, and your responsibility to stop him. And then there's a situation where potentially you might actually be in some way even more than even the so that situation the child is doing it and you cannot allow it, you cannot condone it, you have to stop it. There will be a situation where we're actually not just condoning and allowing, but we're actually egging the child on. You're some way facilitating the aveira, providing the needs for it, or actually convincing the child to do it. So there's all different levels that we have to deal with. And then there is the exceptions. So let's go step by step. The mitzvah in the Torah to train a child, there's no mitzvah in the Torah like most Rishonim to train a child. The mitzvah in the Torah is to teach the child. The main mitzvah in the Torah is teaching. That's the mitzvah deraisa. That which we train a child to do mitzvahs, according to most Rishonim, is a derabbanan. The Chazal came along, the Rabbanon, based on the Pasuk Chanuch Lanar Pidarkoi, which is referred to as Medivrei Kabbalah. It's based on not Torah but Nevi'im and Ksubim. It's a Pasuk and Ksubim. So there's a command to train our children to do mitzvahs. Teaching alone is not enough for most children. Just teaching it, they're not going to learn how to do it, they're not going to get used to doing it, etc. We have to train them to do it all as well. That's a Rabbanon. This Chiyuv is clearly on the father. The situation when the father is not there, it's a chiyuv on the mother. If the father and the mother are there, it's a machlokes whether there's any chiyuv on the mother at all, or the main responsibility is only on the father. So that's a mitzvah of chinuch to train a child to do an essay. What age does this mitzvah of chinuch to train a child to do an essay start? So the Gemara gives an example. The Gemara says the time to train a child to do the mitzvah of lulav is when the child is able to shake the lulav. Now, there are some adults who still don't know how to shake a lulav properly. But the question is, we know that the halacha is even if a person does not shake the lulav, he just picks it up, he still gets to the mitzvah. So why does the Gemara say that the age of chinuch starts when the child is old enough to shake it properly? Why does it say that the mitzvah chinuch starts when the child can pick up a lulav? If a person has a lulav in front of him and that's so he picks it up, doesn't shake it at all, he fulfills the mitzvah. Shaking is l'chadchil. So from that, the Rishonim already derived that the mitzvah chinuch is not to train the child to do the mitzvah. The mitzvah chinuch is to train the child to do the mitzvah properly. So if you're going to train him before that age, you're not training him to do it properly because he's not going to do it the proper way. So according to everybody, if you give a child a non-kosher esrog, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of chinuch, because your mitzvah, the mitzvah of chinuch is to train the child to do it the way he's supposed to do it as an adult.
Doesn't matter whether the child knows that. In other words, you know, it would be something he could know when throwing the child. If you give him an esrog,
yes, it doesn't make
he wouldn't be able to know if it was plus or not. Say it was
right. But that part of your training is to teach a child to take a kosher esrog. So that's why they say the shiur for chinuch is not, you know, child is 5 years old. Most of them say, we assume this child is extremely brilliant, the age of chinuch is 6 or 7. Because the young child, he can figure out, take these things, etc. He doesn't understand the details, etc. So you haven't really trained him. So the training doesn't start until a little later. That's what it comes to mitzvah asa. The mitzvah of chinuch applies both to mitzvah d'oraisa and to mitzvah d'rabbanan. The mitzvah chinuch. Because we're not mechayev chinuch in something which is going to, in some way, potentially be challenging or not healthy for the child. So the more said, there's no mitzvah chinuch in the mitzvah kriya shema shel arvis, because the child should be sleeping then. And to be mechayev the child the mitzvah of kriya shema means you would have to keep him up late, and that's not healthy. So that's an example where we see that the mitzvah of chinuch doesn't apply in a situation where the chazal did not put the chinuch as drabanan. Chazal did not put the mitzvah in a situation which is going to cause any potential negative impact on the child.
So for example, Pesach Seder, that would be different because it's a deraisa, or is that
Pesach Seder? There's not a mitzvah chinuch in the Pesach Seder. The Pesach Seder is a mitzvah deraisa. I have to speak to my children. Mm-hmm. That's a mitzvah on me. It's not
regardless of their age.
Well, the age that they understand what you're saying, but that's not the mitzvah. That's not the mitzvah of chinuch. You're not being mechanic by the Seder. You're being fulfilling the mitzvah of gat lebencha. Now, there's chinuch on aloysa say the age is actually different. That it has to be an age that the child understands not to do something. Okay. What age is that? So a child understands the word no when he's 3 years old. That's not what we're looking for. The child understands specifically what action he should not be doing, and he could extrapolate that and understand to apply that again when the scenario comes up, or similar scenario comes up as well. So child starts understanding the concept that there's Shabbos, you can't do things on Shabbos, and these are the things you don't do on Shabbos. So that's when the mitzvah chinuch on aloysa say starts. But to your child, you say the word no, he stops. He's not going to understand that again the next time when something that comes up, that's a no. He has no perception that this is in context of, he knows this specific act in front of him right now at this moment, don't do it. He doesn't understand the difference between Tuesday and Shabbos, or this action versus another action. He just says, my parents said no. Why no? Because I'm hitting my child, my sibling. They don't have no context. That's not chinuch yet. But once a child reaches the age, the assumption of the poskim is that the average child can reach that age at about the age of 3 years old. So that's all talking about the chiyuv of chinuch. Now the Gemara talks about a next step is, I see a child doing something wrong, do I have a chiyuv to stop it?
Even if he doesn't understand why?
No, even if I'm not the parent. So this is the mitzvah chinuch. The mitzvah chinuch is a mitzvah on the father, and possibly when the father is not available, on the mother. The child has a father, the child has a mother, and I see a child doing something wrong. Do I have a mitzvah to stop the child? So this is a machlokes in the Gemara, whether there's a responsibility to stop a child. So the Morris example is katan echol nevelis. We see a young katan eating non-kosher food. Does the bezdin, which means an outside individual, have a responsibility to stop him or not? So this is a machlokes in the Gemara, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins ain bezdin mitzvah lafrisha. The bezdin has no responsibility to get involved and stop the child. That's the mitzvah chinuch on the father. If father would see his child, he has to be mechanech his child not to do averus. So he has a chiyuv to stop the child. Comes along the Ramah. The Ramah says that there's an opinion which says that this is all talking about that you don't have to stop the child. It's something which is specifically to the father when the child has not reached the age of chinuch. Once the child has reached the age of chinuch, everybody's mechuyev to stop him, even not the father. Comes Mr. Burin says, there's a difference between mitzvah d'oraisa and mitzvah d'rabbanan. this halacha that a non-parent has a responsibility to intervene and stop the child is by nevera on a Torah level. So I see a child eating a nevela, a non-kosher food, on a Torah level. I would have responsibility, according to the way the Mishpura Paskins, to step in, intervene, and stop the child. You can't eat that. It's not kosher food. It's a McDonald's hamburger. You can't eat it. If it would be only so much as also mir rabbanan, I don't have responsibility. That's a chiyah for the parent to do that. Now, the next step of the Gemara says there's a difference between a situation where the child is doing it for himself, the child is doing it for an adult. The child is doing it for the adult must stop him. According to everybody. So, the Gemara's example is that there's a fire on Shabbos, and it's still small enough that you pour some water on it, you can put it out, and the kid looks at the father, and the father says, I'm out of fires on Shabbos. The kid says, I caught what that meant. It meant that I should do it. He goes and grabs the water and starts, he's about to pour the water on the fire and put out the fire. He's doing it because that's what the father wants. He's doing it in the tzarach of the father. The father has to stop it. Or any adult, he's doing it for any adult, the adult would have to stop it. We're not, even though we're saying that an adult does not need to stop a child from doing an avera, but not if the avera is being done for the adult. Okay, now, if to tell a child to do it, to hint to the child to do it, to facilitate the child from doing it, to actually convince the child to do it, to feed it to the child, all those are also on a Torah level. As it is what the Gemara calls Sviya Biyadayim, to be Michael, to feed it to the child, that you can't do. Now we have to define what feeding is. So Gemara says an example. You want to give a child something to play with, so one of the toys that they played with was grasshoppers. So the Gemara says you cannot give a child a non-kosher grasshopper to play with, because you might eat it. Part of the kids playing with the thing, you're actually like, hey, we're not eating grasshoppers, but I guess if you were, that's a possibility that you might eat it.
Unless it's a kosher grasshopper.
So the Gemara says, if it's a kosher grasshopper, you're allowed to give it to him. Mm-hmm. But if it's a non-kosher grasshopper, you cannot give it to him because you are feeding. I'm not feeding it. I'm just putting it there. And he decides to eat it. I didn't ask him to eat it. I didn't convince him to eat it. But you know that it was a common enough effect, a cause and effect, by giving a child this item in his hand, there's a good chance he's decided to have it for lunch. So you cannot put it in his hand. Even though it's not your intent, that you do not attempt to convince him to do it at all. That's one Gemara. There's another Gemara which seems to say the opposite. The Gemara says a story with Rabbi Shmuel, I think it's Rabbi Shmuel, that he lost a key fell. The non-Jew was carrying, the Rashi says, the non-Jew was carrying the key for the shul, and the key fell in the street. So the Mora says that you're allowed to take a group of children, you have the Shabbos groups, take them outside and say, hey kids, why don't you play over here? Knowing what's going to happen, the kid's going to find, I found the key, and run and bring the key into the shul, and great, exactly what we wanted to have. So you ought to do that, the Mora says. Because I didn't tell him, I didn't say, look for the key. I didn't indicate any way that I'm looking. But the child has no way to know that that's my goals. He's not doing it for me. He's doing it for himself. If he would say, why did Rabbi Shmuel schlep us out over in this spot? The smart kid, he says, must be there's something out here we're supposed to find. Like that, that would obviously be awesome. But the worst of the case was, it was total, the total innocence. The children were totally unaware of any intent of the adult. So they're not doing it for the adult. Even though the adult knows that there's a very good chance that's what's going to happen, and he is, as it were, facilitating it, it's mud. So how these two Gemaras do not seem to. So some suggest there's a difference between non-kosher food, which we in general deal with very stringently, than other avers, because that's something that the child's going to ingest, non-kosher food, and that affects the neshama of the child, etc. So that we have to deal with in a more. Some suggest that it's a special leniency in the issur of caring on Shabbos. Caring on Shabbos is a very significant, very unique type of avera. You can potentially change it many times with making an Erev, etc. So different suggestions how to so the application of it, the modern application of it. So I forgot to turn off the light in my refrigerator on Shabbos, and I went to get the refrigerator open. So my kid loves stepping up to the refrigerator door, and I keep telling him, don't open the refrigerator door, don't open the refrigerator door, like, you know, and he knows I don't want him to open the refrigerator door. So I know if I call him to the kitchen, the first thing he's going to do is open the door, like he's not supposed to, right? Because that's what he always does. Never listens to me. So I say, Beryl, please come into the kitchen for a second. The kid runs in and looks at his mother, has that horrible grin, an impish grin, and opens the refrigerator door. And I say, Baruch Hashem, because that's exactly what I wanted to do. So is that mutter? Right? So it seems to be very parallel to the case of the Gemara. I put the kid in the situation. I know he's going to pick up the key. I don't know. He has no idea that he's doing it for me. As far as he's concerned, he's doing it not for me. Because I always tell him on Tuesdays, whatever he does, it's stop. Leave the refrigerator door alone. This time, he thinks he's, you know, whatever, and I got my refrigerator door open, and I'm very happy, right? Is that mutter or not? So there are many persons who say that it's mutter. That they feel is comparable to the analogous to the case of the Gemara of the keys in the Rishon Zerab. And that's it from the Gemara Shabbos. He brings from Rabbi Yash. Rabbi Yash, that was specifically in regards to the Malach of Hitzah. You cannot use it in other areas. You cannot use that approach in other areas.
Is that pre-chinuch? What if he's pre-chinuch then?
Now, we'll get to pre-chinuch is a very good question. Maybe we'll get to it in the time allotted. I'm not sure. But that's called, the reason why that's written is because we do not feel that you have actually agitated, you know, for the purpose of him doing the aveira. But if I would actually feed it to the child or do something which is considered like I'm convincing the child to do it, that's usur at any age. So feeding non-kosher food to a child which is one day old is usur. It's a Torah level usur. Feeding chametz to a child on Pesach, unless it be sakana sefosh, because the child has an illness, right? One of the reasons why some places say, why are you allowed to feed children on Yom Kippur? Some say because it's sakana sefosh. Because here you're actively feeding the child. You're actually giving the child to do something which is prohibited. That's one suggestion. There are other suggestions on Yom Kippur. The main mitzvah is to fast, which a child doesn't have a mitzvah to fast. The Torah doesn't say, the Torah writes the mitzvah of Kippur in the language of an aseh, not of a lois aseh. There's a mitzvah to be ma'anes, to afflict yourself. That's a mitzvah and then there is a prohibition not to eat, which is coming to, as it were, strengthen or fortify the mitzvah aseh. Mitzvah aseh, the chinuch starts later on. And we don't do chinuch on a mitzvah which is going to is going to potentially damage the child. So that's a different ball game. So the mitzvah chinuch of Yom Kippur doesn't start so much later on. So that's one different ways to approach that question. But the idea of actively giving the child to do an aveira, that's clearly an issur, and that's even if the child is not a bar havana. What about when it comes to Melech HaShabbos? And Melech HaShabbos, intent defines the action. I can't actively convince a child to do an aveira. The child has no awareness that switch turns on a light. He's not old enough to understand that connection. So if an adult would do that act on Shabbos, he wouldn't be called Chilul Shabbos. He has no way. He's like, you know, we bring this adult in, very intelligent person, since he never saw electricity in his life. Say, would you mind doing that thing? And they're like, okay, you know, strange thing on the wall, comes up, and you know, all of a sudden, wow, the lights went on. Magic. He didn't see a connection. That's not Chilul Shabbos. Because there was no intent for the mice. So I'm not allowed to have the child do Chilul Shabbos. I cannot convince a child that says, carry this thing for me in the please. I can't tell it to him. I can't say, here, why don't you carry this thing for yourself in the Rishon Zerab? Not for me. Pick it up, carry it, it's okay. You know, you don't keep Shabbos until you're 13 years old. That I'm not allowed to do. I'm telling him to do an aveir. I'm convincing him to do the aveir. I'm handing it to him to do the aveir. Here I'm convincing the child to turn on the light, but over here, intent. The action has no intent to make the connection. Maybe that's not an aveira. So would you be allowed? So even though a child was a non-bar havana. So what the person discusses in the context is: can you give a child to do something called psikration? Tigresha is that you have intent for X, and then Y happens. The child doesn't necessarily make that connection. Are you allowed to give a child to do Tigresha, these type of scenarios? So this is Machlokes on the Poskim. Some say yes, because really it's never Shenim Iskavin, which is not an Aveira. The fact that there's a Tigresha, the child has no awareness at all, so that he doesn't have the concept of Tigresha. Therefore, theoretically, whether it's a younger child or an older child, it doesn't understand the connection, would be the same level of situation. So my understanding is it's better not to do that. My first Shabbos, it was actually during Shabrachas. Mistake of all newlyweds, we forgot to take out the light bulb from the fridge. Right? So my neighbor said, no problem, he has a solution. Neighbor came and put magnetic butterflies. So I already opened the refrigerator door. I didn't realize that the light was on. Now I can't shut it, so all the food's going to spoil. So he brought in his 2-year-old and he put these magnetic butterflies on the refrigerator door. What's the child going to do? Reach for the butterfly. He said, look, the pretty butterfly. The kid reached for the butterfly and slammed the door shut. Of course, I'd taken out the food and he didn't put it in somebody else's refrigerator. So is that mutter? This is like I was a newlywed. I was not claiming to know any halacha. My neighbor said, had this idea. I'm not sure he claimed to know any halacha either, but he definitely felt that was mutter. So based on what we're saying, there's an argument that's like similar to the case of the keys.
What about putting the magnets on the fridge?
Well, putting the magnets on the fridge. What's the difference than schlepping the kids out to play in exactly the spot where the keys were?
No, I'm saying, can you put magnets on fridges on Shabbos?
Set aside you're allowed to put magnets on fridges on Shabbos. You can't, making words with magnets on fridges, letters, that's more complicated. But just putting an item, there's enough to say that's much. Okay, I think we covered some of the topic. That's time frame. I think that's good.